Hi, folks. This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 31. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars, amps, pedals, music, and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on the blog or show notes at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, let's get to it. Today, I just realized that the Guitar Podcast is actually 1 year old. It's pretty cool. It's kind of evolved a bit over the months that I've been doing this. I hope everybody had a really nice Christmas or holiday. I wanted to share a little bit of the cool stuff that I got. The things that I got that are actually guitar related. I really enjoyed the time I have been able to spend with my wife and my kids, and with the in-laws and with my family and extended family, and it's just been really nice. Like I told my wife, I didn't really want much of anything for Christmas. I really just, as far as like buying me a gift or anything, and you know what, she followed that. And when I talked to her after we opened up all the presents, I said, you know, she did buy me a few more things than I thought that she would, but she did say, she goes, well, I didn't buy you this that I was thinking about buying you. I was like, well, that's good. I appreciated that. My sister's family got me this cool book. It's the Les Paul Guitar Book, The Complete History of Gibson Les Paul Guitars by Tony Bacon. I've just barely into this, maybe a tenth of the way. It's a thinner book and it's soft. It's soft bound. It's really been pretty eye opening so far about the history of. I mean, I have a pretty good idea of the history of Les Paul himself from seeing the exhibit up in Milwaukee a year or so ago, and you know, seeing all those famous guitars right in person. You know, the Log and others, and then you know, watching the film, the documentary on him. But the interaction, this is kind of a deeper dive into the interaction that he had with Gibson when they first signed him on to be a signature guitarist for the Gibson guitars. And it's funny, we call it the Les Paul, but you know, if this were to happen today, it's like the Eric Clapton signature model Stratocaster, or the John Sykes Les Paul. You know, it would be just basically a signature solid body electric guitar for Gibson. But, you know, since it was the first and this is such an iconic guitar. Anyway, I don't want to talk too much about, you know, what was going on, what I've read so far in the book. But it's been really pretty cool so far. And then my wife, she got me the Les Paul Legacy 1915 to 1963. It's the early years of the Les Paul Legacy by Rob Lawrence, with a foreword by Les Paul himself. This is a hardbound book. It's really, really cool. It has lots of pictures. It is about an inch thick. I was really impressed. I mean, it's really nice. It could be something you sit on the coffee table and you thumb through because of all the cool pictures. Or read through it, you know, to learn more about Les Paul, the Les Paul guitar and Les Paul, and which I want to do. But, you know, I like pictures, so that's cool. And then she got me the companion book with that, which is, you know, basically part two, the modern era of the Les Paul Legacy, 1968 to 2009. And if you will notice, there is a kind of a gap there between 1963 and 1968, and that's when they were not making Les Paul guitars. Actually, 1960 was the last year they made the Les Paul as we traditionally see it now, or we consider it when we think about a Les Paul. because in 1961 they made the solid guitar Les Paul, the SG Les Paul, which we all just call the SG. But yeah, that's what they moved into that, and Les really didn't like that guitar. And so then they kind of dropped the Les Paul from it because he dropped his affiliation with them. And then, but anyway, we could talk a little more about him and how it came back in 68 when they brought the Les Paul back, and why and how, and then how the name came back and all that good stuff. But it's funny to me though that we consider the 58 and 59 Les Pauls as being the holy grail of Les Pauls or of electric guitars in general. And then they stopped making them. It's like they perfected it right then. And then they decided, oh, we're going to do this other thing and make this other guitar. Which, there's, you know, nothing wrong with an SG. I love my SG. Even it's a 74. I mean, it's not even a, you know, a 60s SG or, you know, or a custom shop or anything like that. It's a very nice guitar. I mean, just kind of amazed that it's a 70s, because 70s are really scoffed at. I already talked about that in another episode, or very early episode. But anyway, very cool guitar. I'm pretty much in love with Gibson guitars. I never knew that I would be. That actually I'm in love with my amp too, Gibson amp. I was always a big fan of Marshall amps, and I still am. But it's funny that my guitars that I prefer are my Gibsons, or if I were to look at a guitar, I'd go out at a guitar shop. The Gibsons would catch my eye more than just about anything else, and you know, my Gibson amp, I just love its tone. It's great. I really compare it to what I hear out of a Fender Tweed. So I guess they'd make a pretty good batch too. But anyway, those are some cool things that I got for Christmas, and I wanted to share that with you. Also, wanted to share with you, there's this documentary film, and I'm not sure when it's coming out. I should know this, but as soon as I see it, I'm going to talk about it on here. It's called Cry Baby, a documentary film. The Pedal That Rocks the World has contributors from Slash, Eddie Van Halen, which I don't know Eddie Van Halen. I don't recall Eddie ever using a wah. Maybe in the 90s when I wasn't listening to Van Halen, but 70s, 80s Van Halen, I don't remember him ever using a wah. Maybe he did. I don't know. We'll find out. Zakk Wylde, Buddy Guy, Kirk Hammett, Dweezil Zappa, Jerry Cantrell, all well-known wah pedal users, some of which have their own signature wahs, like Zakk Wylde. And but Kirk Hammett has a signature wah. Jerry Cantrell does, too. You know what? Buddy Guy does, too. Also featuring Eddie Kramer, Paul Gilbert. I love Paul Gilbert. What a character. Love that guy. Steve Lukather, Bob Bradshaw, that's a name, well-known name. Jim Dunlop, Jimmy Dunlop, and the list goes on. I'm just really kind of excited to see this movie. One pedal they're going to talk about, which, I mean, it really did change things a lot in the 60s. It totally set the hippie generation on its ear with this psychedelic crazy sound that could really just change everything. Anyway, I've got to do an episode on the wah. I've really planned about it. This is probably the second time I've mentioned it on here that I want to do an episode about the wah pedal. It may wind up being a couple different episodes because it's a fairly in-depth, well, it's a fairly detailed I call it an instrument because it adds to, it changes things. I mean, I don't know, your amp's an instrument too, isn't it? Anyway, I digress. and my wife's not here to go wah 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 in the background whenever I say wah pedal, which I found funny. So, but what I really want to talk about this week are some of the cool things that I've noticed over the last year, and they may not have been things that have just been released this year, but they're just things I've noticed over the last year that are really cool, and I just want to point them out to folks. And some things I think are brand new from this year. Others have been around for a couple years, I'm sure, and I just want to talk about some cool stuff that I've run across. First thing I want to talk about is a new guitar string, and I'm pretty sure these just came out because I just started seeing the advertisements for them. It's Clear Tone treated guitar strings, and the funny thing about it when I saw the advertisement is on the page in the magazine right before is a advertisement for Elixir, and they are the Teflon coated guitar strings that have been around for quite a while, and I think all Taylors come with them on them from the factory. My Taylor is a 99, and I got it home, and I knew a little bit about Elixirs, and I have several friends who use Elixirs, and they love them and everything, but I gave it a chance, and it lasted maybe 30 minutes before I put on Martin, or the SPs, the gold strings, gold strings, they're 12s. I didn't like the feel of them. I don't know, it just didn't really work for me. It didn't have the tone that I don't know. It just wasn't for me. And then I've seen what happens to them as they age on other people's guitars, where they start to frizzle and fray and just start to get all hairy and messy. And it just, you know, another reason why I'm glad I don't use them. And my daughter is I'm home alone with my youngest. She's 9 months old, and she's having a hard time staying asleep. So I'll be right back. All right. So 45 minutes later, I have my daughter back asleep. She used to sleep right through the night. She was only a couple weeks old, and she started sleeping through the night. It was pretty amazing. And now, close to 9 months, she goes down for about an hour, wakes up. Goes down for about an hour, wakes up. And her mom's not here, who's much better about getting her back into bed than I am. She's down for now. So hopefully we can get through all this and have this done. So, anyway, I was talking about Serotone treated strings. So, the Elixirs really didn't cut it for me, and so I just stick with the old standard. Just like my electric guitar strings, I just use D'Addario's. I used to use Super Slinkies, and Ernie Ball makes some good stuff, and Dean Markley makes some really good electric strings. But nowadays, I just pretty much stick with D'Addario's. I should probably try out some others again. But I saw this advertisement for Clear Tone treated strings, and they show the Teflon coated Elixirs all worn out with the fuzzy plastic all over the place, just all worn out, and they're nice clear tone treated strings, and something that I actually might try these out. If the strings can stay cleaner longer and have good tone. So that's something I'm probably going to try out. Something, just a little note, whenever you know, keeping your strings clean as it is very important. I think it would be important whether you're using Elixirs or these clear tones or whatever, that before you even put them on your guitar, clean them off with your polishing rag, or, you know, an old polishing rag that you've used quite a bit. It's a little dirtier. It's okay to get the dirt on that you wouldn't polish your guitar with. Go ahead and use that one or an old flannel rag, something like that, old flannel shirt from back in your grunge days or something like that that's left over. Use that. Clean those strings off. From the factory, they have dirt on them, so clean them off, and then at before and after you play, clean your strings. I actually use fast fret to before I play. I should use them whenever I'm done too. Use it when I'm done to clean off the strings, but it lubricates the strings, but it also cleans them off, cleans some of that dirt off. So yeah, I'm gonna try those out. Check out the show notes on the blog. I have a link to the Clear Tone website where you can get more information. The next thing is the Voodoo Lab Pedal Power ISO 5. As I've said before, I use the Pedal Power, the Voodoo Lab Pedal Power, the ISO 5's big brother, and I've been known to have a few too many pedals on my pedal board as of the last probably 3 or 4 years. But if you only have say, I don't know, 5 pedals that require power, the Pedal Power 5 would be really nice to have. The ISO 5, and there's a link to this too, and it's not terribly expensive, just so you know. It's really cool. It has 5 isolated outputs compatible with battery-operated pedals, your standard Boss-type pedals, your barrel plug-ins. Has a high current 9-volt and 12-volt outputs, plus dedicated 18-volt output. Powers Boss Twin, Eventide, Line 6 modelers, TC Electronic Nova pedals. Compact design, fits small pedal boards and rack shelves. Includes cables and detachable AC line cord, like in the back of your computer. The engineered handmade in the United States. It's 5-year warranty. It's really, really cool. It's very cool. Anyway, yeah, I have the Pedal Power 2 Plus. It has a lot of cool features. That is like the one to have, but it's a smaller alternative. It's really cool. Oh, this is super cool. Saw this recently, and I know this has to be brand new. The option knob. Now, imagine you're playing a show or whatever, and you want to increase or decrease, say, the rate on your tremolo. You have this attachment that goes right on your knob, right on your pedal, and it's only about $10. And you could just put your foot over it and turn it left or right or however you want, or kick it all the way up or all the way down, however you want. And it's really cool. You can use they show on your delay or on your small stone or your tremolo. I mean, you can imagine all the things that you can use it on. Your distortion pedal, you want a little bit of distortion, you want to tap it up a little bit more, you want to go over the top. You know, it kind of makes your distortion pedal 2 distortion pedals. Instead of, because who wants to bend over right in the middle of the song? You can't do it when you're playing live. This thing is really, really cool. I have a couple pedals that have like really oversized knobs, that it's still kind of difficult to take your foot and move that around. But with this thing, it's very, very cool, very inexpensive. You know, it's like one of those "why didn't I think of that" moments. Anyway, heck, you know, you can grab a handful of these things and just have them all over your pedal board. Because I can certainly see using these on a few of my pedals. Say like your Holy Grail type reverb pedal. You just want a little bit of reverb, or one time in a song you want to just crank that reverb and just be all crazy with it. You just kick that thing. Very, very cool little addition to your pedal board, to your musical arsenal. Next thing on the list is the Planet Waves Oport. Now, this is something I haven't tried. I'm going to have to check it out. There's a link to it, of course. Thing retails right around 30 bucks. It's an insert for your acoustic guitar. You know, there's a video with a demo. It's supposed to increase the output and the clarity of your acoustic and projection. It says it enhances the low end, improves the overall volume, and creates a balanced and focused tonal clarity. You know, for 30 bucks, you know, I'm willing to try it. Oh, it's supposed to decrease feedback in live situations. I don't know if I buy that or not. You know, you don't know until you try. So this is a really cool item. I think I want to go out and pick it up. I would definitely want to pick up the option knob, maybe two or three of those, and that O-port just to try it out. And the clear tone strings, probably pick up a pack of those, throw those on my acoustic, because nothing is a better, tells the tale of what's really good tone from the string than putting it on an acoustic guitar. So I'll throw a set of those on my Taylor. Like I said, I didn't like the Elixirs on it when I first got it. As soon as I put Martins on it, oh, I loved it. Sounded great. It's only getting better. The tone's only getting better with that guitar with age. I'm looking at spending some money, aren't I? So we've talked about picks before, but these picks, this is the first I've seen them just within the last few months, are these, I want to say Brossard picks. And of course, there's a link to those. And they're really, really cool. They have a long list of endorsements with Santana, Vernon Reed, Black Crowes, hey, guys who know tone, and classic feel, Metallica, let's see, Jungle Pilots, Matt Bellamy, just to name a few, Elvis Costello. I'd like to pick up at least one. They're 19 bucks a piece, is what they're saying they are. They have some made out of exotic woods, bone, horn, abalone, mammoth tusk. I would think that mammoth tusk would probably be one that'd be really cool. Like the bone would be really cool to get. You know, organic material. It kind of goes back to the idea of the tortoiseshell picks before they were, you know, outlawed. Before tortoiseshell was outlawed, it to be used in production for picks and other items. You know, they were highly sought after, and you know, it's almost like every pick company tries to emulate the tortoiseshell. But I'd like to try these out among other picks that I've mentioned in the past. But you know, 19 bucks for a pick when usually you're spending about 19 cents for a pick. So it just depends on what you want to do. Typically I use the Fender mediums. But I have some expensive picks that are really cool to use. They don't tend to leave the house though. But it all depends on, you know, your funds. If you're willing to take a chance on losing a pick like that. Anyway, next, this is super cool. If you're one of those guys who likes to swap out pickups in your electric over and over and over again, I'm happy with this tone. No, man, I don't like this pickup. I'm going to switch it out and put this Zebra humbucker in there. And, oh, this is perfect. And then the next thing you know, a month later, you're going, man, I'm not sure. And then you put a burst bucker in there. And you're soldering over and over and over and over and over again. You've got gobs of solder on your tone pots, and I mean on your switcher and everything like that. And you're cleaning off solder, and you're just over and over again soldering. Seymour Duncan makes this unit called a Liberator, and I'm pretty sure it's in that $30 ballpark too. Really, really cool. Has these mini screws that you unscrew, you put your wires in there, screw it down tight, and it has the electrical connection. I don't know why I didn't think of it. Another one of those slap my forehead. Why didn't I think of that? Well, I'll leave it to a guy like Seymour Duncan to think of that, or the engineers at Seymour Duncan. This is really cool. It's set up, you know, mainly it says it's set up for the Seymour, you know, for you to be able to swap out Seymour Duncan pickups. However, they understand that you're going to use other pickups. So they have, you know, setups for and color codes for other pickups. It mounts on the back of a potentiometer, and I think you only have to have like one solder point on that. But you know, if you want to solder right to the back of the pot, you can do that. There are places to do that, and it's just really cool. This is something that, you know, I might want to put on my Strat, just because I tend to swap pickups out on that. My Gibsons, I love the stock pickups with my Gibsons. I don't know, man. I don't feel the need to swap it out. Those are good. I think they're good pickups. Like I said, my SG has a nice warm overdrive, a little darker than my Les Paul. Amazingly enough, the Les Paul has kind of a more aggressive tone, and you know, I'm fine with that. What I've had trouble with over the years with my Strat is, you know, finding the right pickup. I think those Van Zants are great, and now I'm like, I don't know. So this is a really cool item. Another why didn't I think of that moment. You know, we have all these boutique pedals out there that range in anywhere from $150, $200, $300, $500 boutique guitar pedals out there. True bypass, great tone and everything. But, you know, do I really want to spend $300 on a Zvex pedal? Or, I mean, you can, I just throw them out there because they're great pedals and I've always dreamed of having one. But there are several other pedals out there. You know, Love pedal, kind of expensive. Nice pedals. There are a lot of expensive boutique pedals out there. But visual sound and mod tone pedals are true bypass and have good tone. Nice, they, you know, boutique tone without the boutique price. Really, really cool. So visual sound has the garage tone pedals, and they range anywhere from $50 to $70. They're in that ballpark. Mod tones are a little bit more expensive, but they're, you know, it's really cool. I mean, you're not talking $200 for a pedal. So they have a phaser, a distortion, an overdrive, a delay, and a tremolo for garage tone. And they're your typical stop box size pedals. You know, visual sound makes good stuff. And, you know, I'd almost lean towards these more so than their V2 type pedals, the ones that are more well known for, like the Route 66 and the Jekyll and Hyde and H2O, and then you know, the double trebles and stuff like that. I don't know. I think it just they just I there's something more appealing to me about these garage tone pedals than their V2 series. Might be, I mean, the price isn't, the price for their V2 series pedals is not bad. Just something about the assurance of having true bypass. I've bought it. I've drank the Kool-Aid on true bypass. I admit, I confess, I am a true bypass believer. And then, of course, there's mod tone pedals. They're a little more expensive, but they have really, really cool pedals. True bypass. They're smaller. They have a long list of pedals: analog delay, chorus, phaser. They have a chromatic tuner, a clean boost, which I haven't tried. Overdrives, distortions, extreme metal, a funk filter, which I think is like an envelope filter. It gets that wah-wah-wah-wah kind of sound, kind of like Ida Brickell. And a nice harmonic tremor. Compressor. They actually make a powered pedal board. A lot of people will do that for their own stuff. A power plant. Flanger. Just a long list. Oh, they have a vintage wah. That's interesting. It looks like your typical crybaby wah. So they have a lot of different things there. You know, they tout that you're getting the vintage tone, the boutique tone without that boutique price. So, you know, I don't always want to spend, you know, several hundred dollars on one pedal. You know, the $300 I could throw at a Zvex, Johnny Octave, you know, I could go and I could get maybe two or three of these pedals and have, you know, be just as happy, maybe, you know, three times as happy, because I've got a phaser, a tremolo, and a clean boost. You know, they got three pedals for the price of what I get that Johnny Octave. Then again, Johnny Octave, very cool pedal. Anyway, that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on the blog and show notes. Go check out the show notes or links to the home pages or the main pages of the products websites. You'll be able to watch some videos there and hear examples, hear samples of the products in action. If you liked what you heard today and subscribe to the podcast using iTunes or Zoom, please let them know by writing a review. That'd be really cool. It's really cool to, you know, read the reviews there. It'll let other people know, you know, what you think about, you know, the podcast. If they want to, you know, if they're looking around, browsing around at guitar podcasts, they say, oh, you know, this one might be cool, you know, or not. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.